joy? What brings you joy? What is it in life brings you joy? As I was putting this sermon together, one of the researches that I did is what brings people's joy. There's a lot of things out there that bring people's joy. So I went there and I was Googling what brings people joy. And there's a lot of like ways in which people find joy. One of them was like go watch the sun rise. Or another one is go sit in the wild and experience nature. Another one said, send a snail mail to a friend, which is like you send someone a mail that they don't expect it. You hand write that. You know when a Brazilian, when he's excited, can speak English. So it's going to be a long ride for you. I'm excited for you today. So you write the letter and you send that person, gets in the mail and read it, knowing that that person is getting that mail and reading it brings you joy, but also brings joy to the person who is reading. So it's like people, you know, all different kinds of stuff brings people joy. And I was keep reading, there was a couple of them that I was like, I don't know about that. One was this, go shopping. No, it does not bring joy, not for me, you know. But maybe for all the ladies out there, it brings joy a little bit, right? Another one that made the list is buying puppies. No, buying puppy does not bring you joy. It does bring a lot of pain and suffering, right? You up all night with that little thing crying in the crate, and then you got a clean poop in the house, and it's just not fun. Hey, we got a little puppy not too long ago, so it ate the couch, the towels, the rug. We bought a brand new rug, but we came home one day, half of the thing was gone. No, it does not bring joy. What brings joy? What brings you joy? One of the things that brings us all joy is the fact that we're expecting a baby, and during the Christmas times, we celebrate pregnancies, and pregnancies are celebrated in such a public way nowadays. It's like this big production, right? They have like the cakes with you don't know the color, so you cut in the middle, and then it's pink or blue, or the balloons is popping, and get all this little, you know. It's such a production. It's fun. It's celebrated. It's expected. People get like all this get ready and to announce this beautiful gift of God, which is it is a baby, right? That's what the season of Advent is about. It's about getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And this event has brought so much joy for our lives. The impact of Jesus' new life brought us great joy, brought many people great joys, and continue to do so today. Advent reminds us that the arrival of Jesus on earth offers us hope and joy in the midst of oppression and depression and recession, and the list goes on and on and on. From time to time, I open a hymnal and I go through hymns because they remind me of the traditions that we follow. Many people before us we have this great tradition, rich tradition behind us. So I opened the hymnal, and as I was studying for this sermon, I opened the hymnal to the first page, and the first hymn that comes is the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Are Dorothy. We sang it this morning. Right under that hymn has a little description. It says Psalm 139, verse 14, and this is what it says, Psalm 139, verse 14. Your works are wonderful, and I know them full and well. Joy. What gives you joy? We talk about joy. A lot of us want joy. We want to choose joy. We want to seek joy. We want to be joyful. But we never ask the question, where does joy come from, and what is joy after all? And for that, we need to look into the scripture. We need to look into the word of God and see what is it that God talks to us about joy. If you open the Bible and start highlighting every time you see the word joy, you'll find out that 245 times that word is repeated. 154 times more, it is translated in the word rejoice. The Greek word for joy, it is translated in two ways, joy and rejoice. And together, combined, you find that 399 times being used in the Word of God. So here's what I think is important to know about that statistic is this, is that the Bible has a lot to say about joy. And I think no passage is more important to talk about joy than the Gospels, right? The birth of Jesus talk a lot about joy, especially the Gospel of Luke. If you open the book of Luke, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, joy is everywhere. It's everywhere. The announcement of Jesus' birth, the birth of Jesus in the beginning of Jesus' life was bathed on joy. The angel promises Zechariah that he will have joy and gladness in Luke chapter 1 verse 14 when Zechariah, priest, he went to the temple to pray. His wife couldn't have a baby, but the angel in there said, like, you're going to have one, and you're going to be joyful, and you're going to be glad of the work of God in your life. We rejoice, Luke 1:14. When Mary was announced, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth on chapter 1, verse 44, the baby, John the Baptist, right, the baby in Elizabeth's belly, what did he do? He leaped for joy, right? A joyful moment. We reach a high point in Mary's exclamation, Luke 1:47, when she says, "My spirit rejoices in God." And it spread out with quiet joy of friends and relatives around the cradle of John the Baptist as they experienced the miracle there. But later on chapter 2, verse 10, we see the angels coming to the shepherds. And this is what we read. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." See, here's the thing that we don't understand about this passage, that when the angel is announcing this to the shepherds, he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." When we think about that good news, we think about newspaper or the news article on your computer or the blog on your phone. Or maybe, I don't know, like an email with some extra information that you might get. But reality is, when the angel was saying, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy." The word good news there, he was referring to Jesus himself, to the baby who was to be born, who was for all the people. The good news for you and I, it is Jesus. And this great news is a great news of joy. Joy is very important for God. God cares so much about joy. It is important for God. And as he was putting us together, he knew that joy would be a crucial piece for us to live life together. Because God knows also that what gives us joy is what we would worship. So when we don't understand who gives us joy and what joy is, we worship what is not to be worshipped. So because we all orient our lives around joy, no matter what, right? Whatever is giving us joy, that's what we worship. Have you thought about that? Because here's the thing why. Here's the reason why. Joy, most of the time we put joy together with happiness and fulfillment. Whatever makes us happy and whatever makes us fulfilled, guess what? We worship that, right? So we equate joy with happiness and fulfillment. So then we bow down to that. So what we find joy in is what we seek, and what we seek is what we worship, and what we worship is what we give glory to. So what is it that brings you joy? What is it that you feel like that brings you joy? What is it in life that you do or you pick it up and you say, like, "Oh man, this makes me happy and this makes me fulfilled"? Tell me, can you think of something that when we get it, we're like, "Oh man, now I'm happy, now I'm fulfilled"? There's many things, right? You can think about like money, which is just normal things, or possessions, you know. I think about love, right? We think about like relationships. We think like we find someone and then you're like in love. You're like, "Oh, I am happy and I am fulfilled and life is great." And then you get married, right? Isn't that how it happens? Supposed to be a joke. You guys didn't laugh. I'm joking. You guys getting me in trouble now. My wife is right here. Help me out. I'm joking. You know, marriage is a gift of God for us, and my wife is a gift for God for me. So, maybe I get some points, extra points. No, there are some things in our lives that we get, and we think it brings us happiness that fulfills us, but in reality, it does not. No superficial things can bring us joy. No superficial things can bring us happiness or fulfillment. Joy can only be found in the hands of God. Look at what some of these verses tells us. We're going to explore that today. Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 22-26 tells us about who gives us joy. Ecclesiastes 2:26. For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and I striving after the wind. Listen, pay attention to this verse. Here's what the author of Ecclesiastes is telling us. If you want to get wisdom, you have to please God. But it's so much more than that. Look, pay attention to this. He says, for those who pleases him, God, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So many times in our lives, we are missing wisdom. We're walking life just flying by the seat of our pants, not really walking through wisdom and discernment that God can give us. You know why we don't have wisdom in our lives? Because we're not walking in a way that pleases God. Because for those who please God, wisdom is given. It's in the Bible. If you believe what the Word of God says, wisdom comes from pleasing God. But it's not only wisdom, it is also knowledge. Knowledge coming from pleasing God. And he finished that part of the verse saying, joy comes when God's people live in a way that God is glorified, that God is pleased. Do you have joy in your life? Are you lacking joy in your life? It might be due of the fact that you're not living in a way that pleases God. The continuation of that verse is this, to the sinners, he gives this busy work of gathering and collecting just to give it, all of that, back to those who pleases God. Have you thought about that? So many of us, we're so busy in life with gathering and collecting and thinking that the more possession and the more toys and the more things we have will make us happy and fulfill us. And reality is, no, that's not the work of those who pleases God. That's not the work of those who love God, who wants to live for God. Our job is not collecting things. Our job is not gathering things. We're called to please God. Psalm chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 tells us this. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. It's the same principle. God is the one who puts joy in our hearts. Not having more grain, not having more wines, not having more food or things to drink, that's not going to make it. Only God puts joy in our hearts. So, God is the one who gives us joy. Joy cannot be found outside of God. It is something that God himself gave it to us. So, if you're lacking joy in your personal life, it is not my fault. It is not the fault of those around you or the things in your life that is not fulfilling you. It is because you're not seeking or the presence of God. And that's what the next verse tells us. Psalm 16, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 11 says this. You make known to me the path of life. I love this verse, okay? You make known to me the path of life. How many of us are asking the question, God, what am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? I need direction in my life. How many of us? Man, I'm a 36-year-old kid, right? I'm often asking God, man, what should I do with my life? What is next? You know, as a man, I'm always striving for something more, right? I'm never settled. You know, as a guy, most of the guys here might know this. We are never settled. There's always something more out there. And I'm asking, God, give me the path of life. You know what? God is the one who makes known to us what is next. It is not your job. It is not affluence. It's not that sweet car. It is not the most beautiful lady. It is not. It is the path of life is found in getting to know God. We will save a lot of headaches for ourselves and for our families, for our friends, if we stop trying to find the path of life on the world out there and start to focus ourselves in God. The lesson I'm still learning because I'm young sometimes of fooling in many different ways. Needing wisdom that comes from God. But he keeps on going. You fill me with joy in your presence. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. Read it again. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Man, this verse is like, right? If you want a joy, it is in God's presence. If you want eternal pleasure, it is found in God's right hand. Wow. You sure isn't the next promotion, Sam? No. Eternal pleasures is found in God's hand. Fullness of joy is found in God's presence. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 also gives us what for me is the biggest wisdom that when it comes to this idea of joy. Look what Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, it is love. Joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such a thing, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with passions and desires. I love this verse because it tells us this, that joy, it is a component of the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who indwells within us. He contains that in Him. And we see joy being part of our lives because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you have the Holy Spirit in you? Everybody, right? Every single one of us, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we welcome Him into our heart, God breathes life into us, and He gives us the Spirit of God who works in our lives. So sometimes I think that in our lives, we lack joy because we are stopping the work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Do you lack joy in your life? Maybe you need to check with the Holy Spirit a little bit. Maybe you need to open up of your hearts and allow the Spirit of God to work in you. Joy is a component of the fruit of the Spirit. To such a thing, there is no law. It's not illegal to open yourself to God and allow Him to move in your life. Joy is a prominent element in the spiritual world. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that it's the Spirit of God that gives us that? That the joy is found in the presence of God? Nothing external can give us joy. Nothing. We can't get joy on discount on JCPenney's. We can't buy joy on Kohl's with Kohl's cash. We can't download joy on iTunes or Amazon. You can't lobby for it. You can't legislate it. You can't win a law. You can't win it on a lawsuit. We can't seduce it. We can't turn it on with a remote control. We can't earn it. We can't inherit it. Joy is the expression of God's grace. We can't control it. We can't manufacture it. We can't tell it what to do. It can't be bought with a price. God promised us, the believers, joy. Joy is found in God's presence. It's a work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Do you have joy? See, here's the thing about the Christian life. We think that a Christian life should not be lived in joy. We should be like grump people, right? Because that's what Christianity is about. You grump people that walks around like this and judgy people and that's what it's all about. No, God is like, no, life is beautiful. Life ought to be enjoyed, ought to be fun. And to enjoy my presence, it is to have fun with God. I love what Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 tells us this: and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, underneath this here, there is some fun that Paul said, listen, you know, people out there has a lot of fun with wine. That's not how we do it. We have a lot of fun with the Spirit of God. And let me tell you this, because the Spirit of God guides us in all wisdom and discernment. It is a fun that is a constructive fun, a fun that helps people out, that touch people's lives, and that people in the process is transformed. The joy of God brings transformation to our lives. We got to stop living boring life and allow the Spirit of God to intoxicate us. And that's the theme that I have for you today. The theme is up there. Joy is an intoxication of the Holy Spirit, but a sober intoxication. See? That's what it is. It is the Spirit of God working in us in such a way that it takes control over our lives. I love that. But instead of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work and to give this joy that comes from within, we are searching joy from the outside sources. This week, Laura and I, we were hanging out with a couple here of the church. We were eating dinner at their house and I start sharing a little experience I had back there, back in the day. My dad took me and my brother fishing with some guys from the church. And everybody talks about the Amazon in Brazil. Amazon is very popular. It's up north, right? You know, everybody knows about the Amazon. What nobody knows is in the middle part of Brazil, middle west part of Brazil, there's something called Pantanal, right? It's this big swamp area full of life. Some people even say there's more life in Pantanal than in the Brazilian part of the Amazon. It's full of great stuff over there. So my dad picked me and my brother up. I was like 10 years old, I think. I was 10, my brother probably 7. He was like, let's go go fish. And the name of the river he was taking us is called the River of Death, right? So when you're alone like your kids, you take them fish and you take them to the River of Death. So that's where you go, right? And then you just push them in there and go on. Not my fault, not joking, right? So he takes us, and it's like it's a long drive, right? We drive for a long time, we park at this place, and we walk for 2 days and a night, and then we go to the River of Death. You get there to the river, there are all these instructions, right? You got to take a shower. You're going to be there for like 3 weeks. I don't remember exactly how many, but we were there for a long time. So you got to take a shower. So it's like the guy who's guiding us, like, if you're going to take a shower, you got to take a shower in the river, and you cannot put your foot on the ground. And I'm thinking, what in the world? You know, you cannot touch the ground, because if you touch the ground, they have stingrays. And if you step on a stingray, by the time you get you to the car and drive to the next hospital, you're gone. So never took a shower, right? So, you know, another instruction that happened was like we put this tent together, and the guy's like, if you're going to eat, you got to eat on the top of the tarp, right? Because if you don't eat on the top of the tarp, at night, animals is going to come and start to eat the food. So we supposed to eat in the tarp that needs to be to the river every night, that you could have put in the food in the ground to wash the thing, and, you know, it's impossible, right? So, like, that's the kind of, you know, the trip my dad takes me and my brother, right? The one that you can't survive. So in the midst of that trip, we were ran out of bait. And so my dad, the guy had a little son, and he's like, get the boys and go get baits, which meant there was a little lake, a little pond or lake, whatever you want to call the thing. You know, it was kind of big. And we were supposed to go there and with our nets and buckets and get little fish to be bait for the big fish, right? So we got in there, we walked for a long time. I don't remember, you know, we walked for a long time, all dry stuff, and it was like, didn't look so good. And then out of a sudden, you walk through this big, like, pond, lake, huge thing, right? We were there getting the little net with the little fish and putting little fish in the bucket, you know, to take it back to the camp. And out of the sight, the little boy was like, stop, don't move, be quiet. And me and my brother were like, what in the world? What was going on? He's like, come on, go down. It's this dry grass, and we go. He's like, come here. So we all go under the thing. He's like, look across the pond. We looked up across the pond. There was a panther. A leopard. I said leopard later in the first service. Everybody was like, leopard, panther. That's the right word, panther. Okay, there was a panther over there. He's like, be quiet. If she smells or hears us, she's going to come around. She's going to eat us. Welcome, Dad. Right? Thanks, Dad. I love you. So we go there and we stayed. And on the way back, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about like this. It's like, man, this is a dry place. There's no river that goes around here. And this pond, this lake is full of water. So I asked the guy, you know, the dad of the little boy, the guy's like, sir, how is it that, you know, this pond is full of water and life and fish like that? Look at this place. And he's like, underneath that pond, there's a stream of water that fills that pond with water and allows life to be there. That's joy. See, we're looking for joy to come from all around them. Maybe rain, maybe a river that comes by, maybe some things that come around. Maybe some kid come with a bucket every year and put some bucket of water inside of that pond. But in reality, no, joy comes from inside. It's just like that pond, like that lake, where there's a stream of water that comes from the inside and fills the place. See, that's what joy is. Joy comes from the inside. Nothing from the outside can give you joy. It is the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, and we are looking for toys, we are looking for gifts, we are looking for the next relationship, for the next job, for the next situation. In reality, nothing from the outside can fill us with the joy of the Lord, who is our strength. The only way you'll be filled with the joy that God provides is if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. I love what Mother Teresa said. It's a quote for you. It's up there. It says this. Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. Man, joy, it is the biggest evangelism that we can have. See, you can give life if the Spirit of God is not giving you life from the inside, right? We want to be this kind of Christian that is joyful and touching people's life and that is positive and loving. But in reality, you can't be that if you don't allow the Spirit of God to work in your life so that you can go out and catch souls. I don't know where you're looking for joy at. I have a beautiful wife who loves me and do everything for me, but joy does not come from her. I have beautiful kids that I love and I'll do anything for it. I joke around, but they are my life. My family is my life, but they are not the one who gives me joy. I love what I do and the opportunity to be in front of you and to teach you about the Word of God and to pray for you and to think about the business aspect of the church. I love my job, but it's not my job that gives me fulfillment. You know what it is? Being in the presence of God. It is seeking Him. Pleasing Him and the work of the Spirit that moves inside of me. I'm not joyful all the time. Ask my wife. But one thing I know, that every time I'm lacking on wisdom, on knowledge, and in joy, I know where to get it. And His name is maybe this morning you're lacking some joy in your life. Maybe this morning the circumstances is taking everything away and you can't see where joy can be found. Listen, let me tell you, put yourself in the presence of God on a consistent basis. I just talked about the last sermon series was calisthenics, all right? Calisthenics was a way for you to put yourself in the presence of God all the time. Bible reading, prayer, communion with other people, worship, so on and so forth. Go back and listen to those sermons or send me an email. I'll send all those sermons to you so you can read it over again. It is important that we find ourselves in the presence of God because that's where joy is found. Maybe you know some people in your life who are not joyful and who needs the joy of the Lord. Shoot me their names. Let's pray for them together. Let's put ourselves in the presence of God so that we can be so contagious that the people around us will get also. See, here's the thing about Delaware Christian Church. It is not about the ugly sweater. It's not about the upbeat songs. You know what it's all about? It's about we putting ourselves in the presence of God. I pray that we would become a joyful church. That the people around us will notice and want to be part of us. Because they themselves want the joy of the Lord who is our strength. We will only be the joyful church when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives. Only. And that's my dream, that we would become the funniest church to be at, the most exciting church to be at. Not because Sam Rosa is bald, ugly, and wear an ugly sweater, right? But because we all together put ourselves in the presence of God and we allow Him to move through us so that we can impact the life of those around us. That's my dream, that's my prayer, and that's where we're going. To be in God's presence, to be transformed. Let's pray. Jesus, you're a loving God. Life is tough and the world tells us that a joy and happiness and fulfillment can be found in so many areas of life. But reality is that joy can only be found in you. So I pray that we would, like that pond, that lake, allow your Spirit to fill us from the inside out. That we would be the kind of people that full of life because we are allowing your Spirit to move in us so that we can overflow and touch the people around us. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision to us through the Holy Spirit. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.